jam-packed week in the National Lacrosse League, there's only one place to be. You're listening to NLL Tonight with Andy McNamara and Carlin Yang.
Washington is eliminated and Billings sets a new record. Welcome to the final week in the National Lacrosse League. This is NLL Tonight. Andy McNamara alongside Carlin Gay. Follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81 and at Carlin Gay. Email us to NLLtonight@NLL.com. And Carlin, the guests just keep getting bigger and better as the year goes on.
Sure do.
We have the 2011 NLL MVP / Transition Player of the Year, Jeff Shatler from the Calgary Roughnecks on the show.
Can't wait to have him on and
I'm
talk
excited.
About the second chance that they got
yeah.
to lock up the number one seed.
They got it done.
In the West Division. Like I predicted, Andy.
You did.
Like
you
I
called
predicted.
It. They got it done. But some other interesting news around the league and something that really fans can get excited about.
Records are made to be broken.
The records!
They're made to be broken.
Yes, and they're being broken all over the place. Let's start first with the overall single season point record set.
Wow.
Way back in 2001 by a former guest of this show, JT, John Tavares, 115. And now, knocking on the door, just 5 points away from tying.
Another former guest.
Six from beating the man they called Junior, good old JR, John Grant Jr. at 110 points. Carlin, he needs six.
He's going to get five.
He has averaging six plus a game.
He's going to get five. I called it 2 weeks ago.
You did. I don't really see how John Grant Jr., especially since Junior has really had a lot of success against Minnesota this year. Check out this. 8 goals, 10 assists in 2 games versus Minnesota. Each club doesn't really have anything to play for because the West playoff positioning is all locked up.
And that's why he'll only get five. Nothing to play for. If I was Colorado, why not rest him?
No. He's got to break the record.
Why not rest him?
At 37, how many more chances is John Grant Jr. going to have to break the season's a single season point record?
At 37, how many chances does he have to get a ring?
That's also a good point, my friend. However, a dark horse who has quietly made his way up, the MVP, and I was going to say arguably, but there's no argument about it, Garrett Billings, 106 assists. Billings, who has had big weeks this season, 9 points, he ties.
Yeah, and he has an opportunity to do it.
He could do it.
Because that's a game that Toronto needs to clinch first spot.
Toronto's playing for a lot. Edmonton at 6-9, Toronto heading into the rush for the final Week 17 game. Edmonton doesn't have anything to play for. However, the Rush are always stingy, so I don't think Billings is going to break the record. But
neither do I, but this game means more to Toronto than
it does
Edmonton. They already have their seed locked up. They know they're going to Calgary. Not too far of a trip. But if you're Toronto, you want everything in the eastern side of the bracket going through the ACC. We know they're going to have a home matchup. But are they going to have a second if they do happen to win that first-round matchup?
Well, and keeping with the records, the assists, we had Dangerous Dan Dawson, the single-season assist record holder.
It feels like just yesterday we were congratulating him,
yeah.
And now he's in second spot.
To Garrett Billings.
Just like that.
And Billings got there on a post-game technicality review in the booth. He was credited with 4 assists, so he was tied with Dawson, then got 2 extra. So now Billings is in the lead for that single-season assist record. He's at 79.
I wonder if Alex Hinkley is factoring this in
to the fantasy.
In the fantasy.
The Hink.
The Hink.
I don't know.
Because I'm sure I picked Billings that week where he got those 3 points, and they didn't give it to him. So I need those points back, Hinkley.
Yeah, I need those, too. We got to – you know, that's a good point. We got to ask Hinkley about that.
We'll get him on the show.
Playoff.
Come on, Sace.
Matchups. And we've talked about the West. All decided. So it's Calgary hosting Edmonton. Colorado facing Minnesota. This week, though, Carlin, we're going to get a playoff preview, a couple of them. Colorado heading into Minnesota, 11-4 at 8-7. I wonder what we're going to see, if teams are going to hold anything back, if they're going to be resting stars.
If I'm Colorado, I'm resting stars. If I'm Minnesota, I'm playing everybody.
Yeah.
If I'm Minnesota, I want to be hot going into the playoffs. If I'm Colorado, I have a more veteran squad. I know what I'm going to get out of the big guns.
I would be a little hesitant from the Mammoth from resting too much because we saw after the bye they did get burned. Those old legs got to keep moving for the Mammoth.
But you don't want to risk injury.
No, and that's right. For Minnesota, though, which goalie do you get the start? And that throws teams off so much. And Minnesota in the third seed in the West has tied for the best record of first place in the East with Toronto.
What does that say about the East?
I don't know what it says about the East.
What does that say about the East? Or what does that say about the rest of the West? Because Colorado and Colorado and Calgary have been beating up on everybody out there.
Yeah.
So it could go either way. But if I'm Minnesota, to me, is the scariest of the bottom half of the divisions.
Absolutely. They're unpredictable.
They can be the ones that upset Colorado and upset Calgary.
They very well could. And if you're a fan of Toronto or Philadelphia, two teams that have a chance to host all the way through and win the East, you want Minnesota, because if you can get to the finals, then you get that home field.
Exactly.
And speaking about the East, where the West really has nothing to play for, it's more about positioning and kind of figure things out, some tune-ups. The East has everything to play for.
Everything. Everything could change.
We could see a flip right now. Right now, it is Toronto, Philly, Buffalo, Rochester. Rochester could catapult as high as second. Philly could take first. Buffalo could stay in third.
Buffalo is the only team that can't get a home playoff game.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
You're correct. Buffalo is the only one that's going to be on the road. And
so they know that. That's the only thing that's set in the East.
How is this, though, if you're a Buffalo fan? And although it's been a horrendous season up and down, Darius Kilgore, I'm surprised he still has lungs left from screaming so much at his team. Anthony Cosmo faced 55 shots. Cosmo is looking good.
Very
scary
good.
Good.
Very good. And he's a type of goaltender. You mentioned it early on in the season. He's an elite goaltender
yeah.
in this league. And he's a type of goaltender that could get hot in the playoffs. One and done scenario. Anything can happen. If you're Buffalo, I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
If you're Buffalo, who would you rather play? Toronto or Philly?
Philly. Absolutely Philly. Because Philadelphia has been so inconsistent. I think Toronto with Manning starting to come into form and rolling. Philly is the more inconsistent team. Crowley has been able to be shut down from time to time. And Miller has led up huge games, 20-plus goals earlier in the year. But I think Philadelphia is – they're going to be tough. But I think it's the better pick because you don't really know what you're going to get.
See, I'm picking The Rock. And the reason why I'm picking The Rock is you have Nick Rosenette.
Right.
You don't know what you're going to get out of him come playoff time. They haven't looked all too good at home this season, Toronto has. And
most of those games had Roy Kinnett, though.
Roy had been in that. In saying that, Buffalo fans have the ability to travel up to Toronto.
That's
and
true.
And even out some kind of crowd advantage that Toronto would have in their own house. So
they do travel, too, those Bandits fans. They're rabid.
They're very rabid. So if I'm Buffalo, and then the rivalry factor, you throw that in. They know each other very well. Yada, yada. I want Toronto first round.
I think from an entertainment standpoint and a rivalry standpoint,
and think about the pressure
yeah.
that is going to be on Toronto, Nick Rose in net. They won it last year. You're stepping into the Whippers' shoes to defend the title.
He's played well with the pressure so far.
Well, he hasn't faced playoff pressure. Regular season and playoff pressure is two different things. Let's face it,
definitely.
Toronto was going to make the playoffs whether or not they had you and I in net. They already the East was that weak
yeah.
this year. But
or parity. I won't say weak. They had parity.
They clinched their playoff berth long before. They could have won it with Matt Roick.
Yes. They might have been in third, but you're right. They probably could have clinched.
Tell you something. Washington wasn't catching them.
No, well, hey, from a selfish standpoint, I want Toronto to finish first because then I get to call all the games at
and
home.
I get to get there. I get to be there as well and see them live.
And Andy likes to get paid. So I want Toronto to go all the way.
Come on, Doug.
To the ACC.
Send the invoice to Doug. But and selfishly, I want Toronto to have all the home games as well. But if I'm Buffalo, I want to see Toronto in the first round.
Let me turn around you. If you're Rochester, that young team, similar to Minnesota in the way that you have some young guns who are a little bit unpredictable, mm-hmm. Rochester could hop up to second with a win. They could also finish fourth. So if you're Rochester, do you have a pick or team that you'd rather step in with?
To be honest, I don't even want to waste my time with it because I don't think Rochester will make it past the first round, regardless of who they play, and even if they get that first round playoff game at home.
You have Matt Vince, though. You have Matt Vince.
But the team in front of him is so inconsistent. You don't know
yeah.
what you're going to get.
And that's it with the young team. You don't know. Rochester's one of those teams. I know if I'm Rochester, I don't want to play Toronto. Toronto has owned you.
Yep.
The curse of playing in the Rochester building is gone, so that doesn't make a difference.
Yep.
for Toronto. Not that that would be a first-round matchup. If I'm Rochester, I want to hold off playing Toronto as long as possible.
And if I'm Toronto, I want to play Rochester. I don't want to see Buffalo if I'm Toronto, I'll tell you that.
No, and with the way Cosmo's playing, I don't want anyone. If I'm playing Buffalo, I don't want that matchup.
No.
And Buffalo especially, look at Cosmo, allowing under 10 goals versus Rochester. That's big game pressure, and it was an important game for each club. Because Buffalo, they were playing for a playoff game.
They were.
That was a playoff matchup for the Bandits.
It was.
Right there.
But let's be honest, Washington wasn't going to catch them.
16-13 loss for the Stealth. And Carl and I told you last week I wouldn't believe it until I saw, well, I'm seeing it. The Stealth missed the playoffs.
I could have told you that in week 5.
You did? I just didn't want to believe it. I couldn't believe it.
12 weeks later, you're now seeing the light.
I cannot. It just seems so perplexing that the team that went to the finals the last 2 years, won in 2010, in a 9-team league, 8 teams make it. You're the one. Edmonton beat you to the playoffs, Carl. Edmonton beat you to the playoffs.
It's laughable, but I mean,
Edmonton beat you 2 games. They're up 2 games to you.
And this Edmonton team can get hot and make it to the finals.
That won't happen.
It could be. It could happen.
They could win a round.
It could happen. I trust a guy like Aaron Bolinet.
He's good. To me, the Rush don't have the offensive power. If they could get a star that would want to play for them, like Iannucci, who got traded for Rabel, who wouldn't play. But let's give Edmonton their due. Okay, 6-9 with a team that they benched a healthy scratch in the 9-6 loss to Calgary, Scott Evans.
And Zach Greer didn't play with that concussion.
With that concussion.
And they still hung tight with a team that has beat them.
Something's going on
like
with Evans.
Like a government mule. So, yeah. I mean, if you get those two guys back, and we'll have to listen to the coach's call on Wednesday, if you get those two guys back,
yeah,
you know Calgary very well. A lot of the pressure is going to be on Calgary because they're the top dogs. Everything's going through the Saddle Dome. If everything goes well for Calgary, Edmonton can knock them off.
Yeah, well,
it's one and done. It's not a series. It's not a best out of three or best out of five. It's one and done. You don't show up one night, you're watching at home on the NLL Network.
And that's it. Philadelphia. Again, Carlin, Philadelphia had the East in their grasp, and they've let it slip away. Now they're at 7-8. Toronto clinches first and home advantage for the first 2 rounds to the East Final. If Toronto wins or Philadelphia loses. So this game, Philadelphia and Rochester, an Eastern matchup, that to me, that's the game to watch this weekend. That's the big one.
The East brings up a lot of question marks. Because you can make a case for every single team that is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with them, that they're not going to be a championship caliber team.
They all have a weakness.
They all have a weakness. So whoever comes out of the East shouldn't be a shock.
But they can all be streaky. And that's the interesting part.
They can.
If we get back to the West for a moment, for Calgary, who's on the bye this week. So their season, it's over.
That's perfect. Calgary has to slip a 50 to the schedule makers for that one.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better schedule. 12-4, so Calgary off. But let's look at the head history here. 2010, Edmonton eliminated the Roughnecks. 2011, Washington eliminated the Roughnecks. Calgary is one of those clubs that is beginning to build a reputation since winning the title in 2009 of choking under pressure. When it counts, you can have the big record. You have the sexy record. You can finish first. That doesn't mean squat now. Can you get to the dance? And Calgary doesn't have their dance, tap, and shoes on the last 2 years.
You're right, they don't have their Dancing with the Star shoes on, but they've looked a lot better this year, and I'm sure our interviewee, Jeff Shatler, is going to have a lot to say about that when we ask him about it.
Well,
in
next
segment.
And let's run down once the games in Week 17, and then we'll head to break. So, we have Philly 7-8 in Rochester. Game of the week for me. Could decide the East. Next, Colorado 11-4 at Minnesota. Nothing to play for, but a first-round matchup. Who will play? Who won't? Toronto at Edmonton means nothing for Edmonton. Everything
for Toronto.
For the Toronto Rock. And then the 6-9 Buffalo Bandits head into Washington for...
Scary.
And Carlin, we were talking about this game could have been the make-or-break game for who made the playoffs, but Washington's ineptitude...
They did you-know-what to the bed.
Yeah. Washington just mailing it in the entire year with that talent group is shocking. And we talked about possible full-scale changes coaching-wise in Buffalo. How about Washington?
Yeah.
Is Chris Hall's job safe? I wouldn't fire him, but you never know.
Like I said it in the middle of the season. Washington had 1 foot on the turf, 1 foot somewhere in Cancun.
And now they're going to be fully in Cancun after this. The Buffalo-Washington game means nothing. It's a tune-up for Buffalo.
It is a tune-up for Buffalo, but we are in full playoff mode.
Oh, yeah.
No tune-ups here on the NLL tonight. We got up next, 2011 NLL MVP / Transition Player of the Year, number 77, Jeff Shatler of your Calgary Roughnecks, locked up first place. And then we have fantasy.
That's right.
We have no chance of winning the fantasy title.
Speak for yourself.
I have no chance of winning the fantasy title, but we can do it for bragging rights.
There you go.
That's what we do here on the NLL tonight. We brag a lot. Number one show in lacrosse right here on the National Lacrosse League Radio Network.
Hi, guys. This is Jeff Shatler with the Calgary Roughnecks, and you're listening to the NLL tonight.
By the 2011 NLL MVP / Transition Player of the Year, Jeff Shatler, number 77 on his jersey, number one in your heart, from the Calgary Roughnecks. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Not only number one in your hearts, but number one in the standings right now.
Yeah, number one in the West. Congratulations. A huge 9-6 victory in the Battle of Alberta over Edmonton on Saturday. Yourself, Jeff, you got 2 goals and an assist. The Roughnecks not only clinched first in the West, but home advantage throughout the playoffs. How important was this game to the club, and what does it mean to win the division?
You know, it's a great honor. You know, that was our first step towards the championship run, and you know, we want everything to come through the dome, and that was our goal as a team before the season started, and we achieved that. So now we got to forget about that. That's been the past. Now it's the playoff run, and you know, any team can be beat in this league, and you always got to be cautious of that, and you got to be put your head on straight. We've been thinking about the next game since last weekend, and that's we're gonna play Edmonton again, I believe, and that's pretty tough to play a team 5 times. You got to be ready for them.
Yeah, you guys will be playing Edmonton in the first round at home, but talking about the end of the year, a lot of people get nicked up, a lot of people miss games. And talking about specifically missing games is Mike Poulin, your goaltender, starting goaltender. He's been replaced by Frankie Scigliano, who has played well, only allowing 6 goals in that victory this past weekend. Can you update us on the status? What have you been hearing with the Poulin wall, and will he be back for the postseason?
Oh, he'll be fine. He's fine. He's just resting, that's all. He'll be ready to go.
Great. And sticking with Scigliano for the moment, stepped up, and he shone earlier in the year, got the job done versus Edmonton, like we mentioned this past week. Talk a little bit about his play this year when called upon, and what does it mean to have that reliable backup in your corner?
A guy like Scigliano, he's awesome, and he's got 2 years left in junior. He's a competitor, and he proved that he can deal with pressure, and he got his first NLL win against Edmonton last one. And it's awesome. I just love to see that guy out. He works hard in practice, and I really believe he's going to be one of the top goaltenders in this league in a couple of years.
We're on with Jeff Shatler of the Calgary Roughnecks. Jeff, you mentioned that playing one team 5 times in a year and getting victories is very tough. An Edmonton squad, you know the Battle of Alberta, the intensity, the rivalry between these two matchups. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be playing the first round of the playoffs. Talk about this Edmonton team and what you guys need to do to get that victory and continue on to your championship run.
I think we just got to forget what we've done. You know, not necessarily what like our achievements, but you know, we've done so well till now. We know we're a power. We know we're a good team. We know we could play with the best of them. It's just though we got to be ready mentally, I believe, in the first round, because in lacrosse it's only one game. And, you know, not necessarily the best team wins, because in this league, anybody could beat anybody. And, you know, playing a team 4 times and beating them is tough enough on its own. But I know that they're going to be hungry, because if I was in Edmonton's shoes, I'd be hungry wanting to steal a W, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, any team could be beat, and we just have to give everything we got and leave everything on the floor.
I'm glad you mentioned the one-and-done kind of format that we have in the National Lacrosse League. Do you prepare differently when you face a team in the playoffs? Like, during your last game, you played Edmonton, last game of the season. Did you try to send a message with that game heading into the playoffs?
Well, we tried to send a message to the league. You know, we had. It's not very often that you get two chances to clinch first. Colorado did us a favor, or Edmonton did us a favor against Colorado, and you know we got our second chance to clinch. But we wanted to have a good run going into the playoffs. We wanted to be confident, you know, in our game, and that one game maybe shook us up a little bit against Rochester, and maybe it was for the better.
Well, Jeff, let's move to your own personal accomplishments here, because you came off that breakout season, 75 points, and we mentioned off the top, league MVP and transition player of the year. Followed it up this season, 72 points, so another solid campaign. Going into the year and continuing on, did you have to adjust your play at all or feel any extra pressure heading into the season since you had a higher profile and more hype to live up to?
Yeah, you know, that's it. At first it was tough, you know. I just try to prove myself to my teammates, so that's the big thing, right? I'm not trying to prove myself to anybody else except for my teammates. If my teammates believe that I gave everything in the game, then that's enough for me. And to win the accomplishments that I got last year, I'm honored. You know, a lot of players could have won them. I was honored to be picked and even chosen to be in that run. It was a great honor, but, you know, I try to prove myself to my team and to my family. I can't rest on your morals. You just got to keep getting better each year. And as long as my team is proud of my play at the end of the game, I'm happy with that.
Well, Jeff, we had your teammate from the World Championships in Prague in 2011, Cody Jamieson, on earlier in the season. We talked to him about his experiences there, what it meant to put on the Iroquois colors and play in the tournament. We've been asking players all season long to share their experience of Prague, how you enjoyed the tournament, and kind of your overall feelings on that event.
Prague, first of all, to go up with Team Iroquois, you know, it was a great honor. You know, that was the first time that we were accepted over in the European culture, and it was great. I met a bunch of good people, a lot of locals, and got to hang out in a European city with a bunch of buddies that we grew up playing lacrosse together. It was a great ride. It really was. I was honored to be picked to go out there, and I was glad to have the chance. It was a beautiful city. It's remarkable. Nothing like Canada at all. It was just it was an awesome place. Prague is beautiful.
Well, yeah, and the brews are a little cheaper than over here too. Good party city.
$1. There's a couple happy hours going around.
And Jeff, finally, before we let you go, we do have a question from Twitter, and it's actually a theme that we've asked a couple of the more veteran and tenured players in the league. Yourself, this year, sixth year in the NLL, about your training regimen on and off the court. During the season and off, so the Twitter question coming from @sjape, what is your conditioning program during the season?
Conditioning program, just like to eat healthy. I usually eat at home. My woman really takes care of me in that department.
There you go.
I go to the gym. Yeah, go to the gym usually after work. Get off around 4:30. Go to the gym for about an hour. Run on the treadmill for a little bit, and then every once in a while we got shooting on. A goalie in town if he's around. So you just try to keep in shape. You know, you got to be ready for that one game at the end of the week. And, you know, your team and everyone else will know if you're not training. So you just got to be ready.
I think the secret might be out. Whatever she's feeding you, that's the rest of the league wants a piece too.
I've got some good pasta.
There you go.
Jeff Shatler, his team locked up first place in the Western Division, and they will not leave the friendly confines of the Saddle Dome the entire playoff run. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
When we come back, we have fantasy right here on the NLL Tonight.
Hi, this is Reese Dutch from the Washington Stealth, and you are listening to the NLL Tonight.
NLL Tonight on National Lacrosse League Radio, presented by Reebok Lacrosse. It is week 17, the last week of the season. Special thanks to Jeff Shatler from the Calgary Roughnecks, 2011 NLL MVP and Transition Player of the Year, only the best on this program. Andy McNamara with Carlin Gay. And Carlin, It is the final week of fantasy.
Final week of fantasy, which means I have to go with one man and one man only for my hot shot.
Who's your hot shot?
Kevin Crowley of the Philadelphia Crowleys.
I knew it.
The rookie of the year.
No.
He's going to prove to everybody why he's the rookie of the year this week, heading into Rochester in a huge game for them. They need to win it to grab top spot. Costing you $20, you'll get you $280.
My hot shot pick, I'm going with John Grant Jr. of the Colorado Mammoth, and you might be seeing Andy. John Grant Jr., he's an easy pick. However, Jr. has a chance to make history, and Jr. in big game delivers. He needs 6 points to break John Tavares' all-time record. And Minnesota, he's owned them. 8 goals, 10 assists this season. Go with John Grant Jr., an expensive $25, but well worth it.
You'll get 5 points this week. Cody Jameson, ice cold soda out of the freezer. Costing you $20. He's getting you $288, but this is not the week to pick Cody J.
Cody Jameson's an amazing player.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, my freezer burn, Jeff Sawicki. From the eliminated Washington Stealth, $16, 110 points.
Washington
has nothing to play for. They haven't played all season. Sawicki hasn't contributed. Stay away from not just Sawicki, pretty much anybody Washington.
Yeah, Washington has nothing to play for, but we have everything to play for on the NLL tonight. Thanks to Jeff Shatler for coming on. Follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at Carlin Gay. Email us at NLLtonight at NLL.com. We're going to see you next week for
playoffs.
Playoffs?
Ha ha ha.